head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with the new Chariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now.
And
so,
yes,
here's Rick.
We are podcasting here at the Rusty Satellite Show right in the Louisville.am studios in St. Matthew. Welcome. My name is Rick Redding. I appreciate you downloading the show and listening, taking an interest in your local community. And this is the show where you find out some of the most interesting people in the Ville. And once again, I have not disappointed this week. I have a couple of Chris's on the show this week who you might say couldn't be more different. But in the second part of the show, my good friend Chris Thieneman is back, and he is a busy man in addition to being a new father. Chris has a seven-week-old son, Ira, who I met, and he talks about how he's already planning his football career. So Chris is he's always in a great mood, very active, and I was just glad to have him back on the show. Chris and I have worked together in a number of different capacities, and he is, I guess you would say, my partner in LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city, the website where I am constantly updating you on things that are going on in the city, and glad to be able to operate that in conjunction with Chris as well. But my first guest is Chris Pointer, and Chris is recently received a national award from a national organization for the job he did. Now, you may not realize, because Chris is sort of an in-the-background guy, but he, when Muhammad Ali passed a little over a year ago, the reaction by the city and all the events that were planned and all the things that happened, a lot of those coordinated by Chris Pointer in the mayor's office, and for that work, and if you remember that week, it was just a special time here in Louisville. A lot of people came together. There was a very positive vibe going on in the city. I certainly remember it very well, and a lot of guests, you know, it was probably bigger than the Derby in terms of the people that came into town to honor the champ. And Chris coordinated a lot of that thing. You remember the caravan that carried Ali's body all through on a path all through the city with people lining the parade route the whole way. Chris had something to do with all that, and he is regularly working hard with the mayor, with Mayor Fisher to make things happen in this town. In fact, I just saw this thing tomorrow. I just wanted to mention it because it's a former Rusty Satellite Show guest. Bridget Kalin is playing in the mayor's. They have a lunchtime concert series, the Mayor's Music Fest. Mayor's Music in the rotunda in the place down there at the building at 6th and Jefferson. If you get a chance, go down and see Bridget and have her entertain you. That's on Thursday at noon. Just another little thing going on in our city. But there's a lot more going on. And before we get into our guest, I want to thank my great sponsors. I tell you, this show would not be possible without it. We're in our fourth year of action, show number 213. That's 213 weeks in a row that we've had a brand new and great Rusty Satellite Show. And it's made possible by the Eye Care Institute down on Story Avenue in Butchertown. The folks, no matter what, nothing is more important than your eyes. No matter what you, if you have a problem or you need routine eye care, go down there, get an exam, and get new contacts, new glasses, anything you need. And they also do, of course, some more complicated stuff in terms of LASIK and any other sort of problems with your eyes. The Eye Care Institute, 502-589-1500. Give them a call. Tell them Rusty Satellite sent you over there, and I would appreciate it. Also, my friends at Passport Health Plan are a longtime sponsor of this show. I am doing some new work. I just signed a consulting contract with Passport to do some work over the next year on their move to the West End. They're going to have a new headquarters at 18th and Broadway, land that was formerly going to be a Walmart. And those plans fell through, but it's really an amazing thing that Passport has stepped up to the plate and announced that it is taking its corporate headquarters into West Louisville. So that's great for Passport. So, all right, let's get on with the show. I got plenty of stuff to talk to you about after this, but I really enjoyed talking with Chris Chris Pointer. He was a Courier Journal reporter back when I started blogging way back when, and has always been interested in journalism and trends in journalism. We talked a lot about that and just about his job. He's got a very interesting job. Is all set for, you know, there's a campaign next year for mayor, and Mayor Fisher will be eligible for his third term and is likely, very likely to win. But anyway, Chris doesn't get too involved in the politics of that, but he runs the show. A lot of the events that come out of the city go through Chris, and he handles all the media requests as well. So anyway, I think you'll enjoy it. This is a great great conversation I had with Chris Pointer.
I had no use for health insurance, but my mom was always saying, sign up for Passport. And I was like, Mom. She was like, for my peace of mind. It got to be where I needed peace of mind, so I did. Now my mom, she can chill, and I feel pretty good about it too.
Together we can all feel better. Call 1-800-578-0603 and ask for Passport. That's 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan, working together for a healthier Kentucky.
And I'm very happy to have Chris Pointer with me because, you know, you're a big shot now. You're the Communicator of the Year in government, right, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it even surprised me.
There you go.
I mean,
carted in a big trophy for you, and you had to accept it, right? Yeah. But for listeners who don't know, Chris Pointer is the in charge of communications with the city, and some call him the mayor's right-hand man. It's evolved into quite a position.
Yeah, you know, and it's such a rewarding position. You know, I've came up through the journalism ranks. I was a reporter at the Courier Journal, and many years ago, came to work for former Mayor Abramson, and then became acquainted with this guy named Greg Fisher, who was running for mayor, who many people didn't know, who I didn't know. I worked in his campaign, and then came on when he won.
Well, you picked the right guy. There was a lot of people running.
Yeah, there was. That was a horse race. It was like a derby. There was like 20 people, and it was all sorts of interesting characters in that race. And but it was a good race, and. You know, and I think the mayor has done an excellent job really taking the city in a new direction, an entrepreneurial and innovative, a data-driven perspective and a way forward. And it's been an honor working for him and work for the citizens of Louisville. I mean, I was not born and raised in Louisville, but I love this city. And I'm a passionate believer in the city and in its future. And we got a great place.
Well, let's get back to that. I want to ask... listeners don't know about you. You know, I know that you went to Western like me.
Mm-hmm. And good old Hilltoppers.
The Tops. Yeah. Go Tops. And you grew up in Kentucky, though, right?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Bourbon County.
Bourbon County.
In central Kentucky. You know, Bourbon County is sort of what you picture when most people picture Kentucky. It's the big horse farms, the plank fences, the stone fences. All my family's still there. And went to school at Western Kentucky University, majored in journalism. After college, worked in Tennessee and Florida, was overseas for a while in China, and then came to Louisville.
There you go.
And
the Courier Journal. And now it's been, you know, as we jump ahead, I remember you were the Courier when I was first starting doing blogging, and that was, you know, I guess 2006 is when I started my blog, and that was sort of the beginning of when things really changed in journalism, in local journalism, and you got out right in time.
Yeah.
How is it different? I mean, you're on the other side helping reporters, et cetera, but how is it different from when you were a reporter?
I mean, you know, the whole dynamic has changed. I mean, the whole world, we've seen a complete disruption in the media model. You know, I can remember when I was a reporter, I would go out, I would spend the whole day reporting a story, talking to many sources, trying to get the complete picture. Then I go back to the newsroom and sit down and write the story, and it would be edited. And there was really this time to think and to make sure you had the story right, that you had the voices, that you had the grammar correct. All those things are different now. And in the world of Twitter and social media, it's instantaneous, and it's 24 hours. And so I think that's really changed the nature of my work in city government, and it's changed the nature of a journalist's work. And I would argue not always for the good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember one of the first things when I was blogging about the news, I said, man, the Courier,
man, they're holding stories till the paper in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I got the news right now. So anyway, but, you know, as in your job right now, I mean, like, do you ever turn your phone off?
I know. I sleep with it at my side. Now, I'm one of the things that people like to make fun of me is I go to bed really early at night, and then I get up really early in the morning. So people know if it happens after 8 o'clock at night, you got to call Chris because the phone's right there next to his ear and it'll wake him up. But yeah, I mean, you know, you have to, when you're the communications director for the mayor and for the city, you have to be available all the time because you never know what's coming your way. You know, something's going to happen today. We don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And you have to be prepared for that.
Well, not to put you on the spot, when's the last time you got woke up with a media call?
Couple days ago.
I didn't figure it'd been very long ago.
Yeah, so a couple days ago, remember. And it was just about a reporter wanting to check up on a public safety issue. Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there any aspect of your – I mean, I'm very curious about your job because, like, jobs like yours are kind of glorified in TV dramas about, like, the White House or governments or all that, that you know, there's always a guy like you that's at the ear of the president or the mayor who's given advice, who's really the man behind the thing. But tell me about your relationship with the mayor. I mean, how often do you talk with him and –
Well, every day, pretty much every day, and some, often on weekends. We maintain an open line of communication. I'm also in constant contact with the chief of staff, Ellen Hessen, Katie Dalinger, the deputy chief of staff, and we're in constant contact by email, by phone, by text. You know, the mayor, I didn't know Greg Fisher when I first met him, and you know, he was sort of a strange guy to me because he was talking about data and entrepreneurship and business. And you know, those were just not things in my sphere. And I've really come to appreciate what he has brought to the city government and initiatives that have started and really come to fruition that are life-changing for this community, like Google Fiber. Like the Omni project, I mean, he decided we're going to get that block developed one way or another, and he identified and went after. He decided we're going to focus on West Louisville. We are going to make sure there's an investment in West Louisville, and we've had some failures, but now we've had some success with Passport and the YMCA.
Got kind of lucky on that one, though, didn't you?
On which one?
Passport.
Passport. Well, I wouldn't call it luck, but I would say that, you know, Mark Carter and the whole team at Passport, what a vision they had. And to step forward and say, you know, Mark called the mayor shortly after Reverend Cosby wrote an editorial that said West Louisville needs a win. And Mark raised his hand and say, we're going to give him a win. And, you know, we immediately, you know, said, let's work on this together. So that's been a great partnership. I mean, just think about that project alone. A corporate headquarters is moving to West Louisville. That has not happened on that scale in probably 40 years.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's certainly a big win. All the other things going on in the city are big wins, which brings us to the mayor. He's coming to the end of his second term. He's running again. What's that mean for you?
It means we just continue to do the work of government. You know, there's never a day you go by that you're not mayor. I mean, he's mayor 24 hours, 7 days a week. We work around the clock, and you know, there'll be time for campaigning later. But right now, it's just being mayor and getting the work done. You know, on the city government level, unlike state government, I think, and definitely unlike the federal government, I mean, you got to get the work done. And if you don't get the work done, you hear about it from citizens because you see them at the grocery, you see them at the gym, you see them on the street. And so being mayor is very different from being a state leader or federal leader, and it's very transactional. And
well, I see him out all the time, and you know, he seems to...
He doesn't sleep.
He seems to really enjoy it.
Yeah. In fact, I get weary just thinking about all the stuff that he does. But yeah, he is... I mean, he starts his morning at 7 in the morning, and he sometimes goes till midnight.
Okay.
And, he is a driven, visionary mayor, and I think the community recognizes that, and I think over time, this moment in history will say he was the right leader for Louisville at this time.
What do you think? I know in your position, you may have to watch your words here, but he's going to be challenged by somebody, likely, right?
Well, I hope not.
Yeah, you want to be unchallenged, but yeah. I don't know. That didn't work out that well for Dan Johnson. But, do you foresee any opposition in the spring or fall?
Who knows? I mean, you never know. But I think what we do is we focus on we've got a job to do every day. We've got an environment to work on to make our city cleaner and greener. We've got to create jobs. We've got to continue the investment. Campaign stuff will take care of itself.
In terms of your role, I would assume, but I think I need to ask you, a third term, you're on board. You think you're going to continue through the whole next term, if there is one?
Oh, I'm all in. I mean, this job is – first of all, I love work. I have always loved work since I was first worked at the IGA grocery store, sacking bags, sacking groceries in high school, and then later the drugstore on Main Street. And I've had lots of great jobs, and I loved being a journalist. This job is just a dream job for a communicator. I mean, you get to have your hands in a little bit of everything that's happening in the city. From economic development to public safety to downtown to the libraries we're building. I mean, you're at the table for all these major decisions, and it's very invigorating and it's very rewarding. I come to work even on the days when it's tough and we're having to deal with issues maybe we wouldn't normally want to deal with.
Like, what is tough? I mean, what are the issues that have come up while you've been here that have been challenging to deal with?
I think the most difficult, and I think the mayor would say this, has been public safety. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are working very hard against public safety to improve, make our city safer. We're starting to see some good movement in that area with drops in crime. Still not homicides, but drops in other sorts of crime. And that's the number one role of a mayor, is to make sure, first of all, the city's safe. So that has been frustrating on some levels, but it's also rewarding because I can actually see that we're making a difference in the lives of some of these young kids that we're getting in programs like Reimage and the mentoring program. And it's a long-term play. We have a short-term play with the police strategy, and then we have a long-term play with what are we doing with youth, especially young males of color, to help get them on a good path. And so it's very hard work, but it's very rewarding.
Yeah, well... it's good to have a strategy for that, and have the mayor does communicate very well, and that's something I'll credit you, because he's vastly improved since he first became a candidate.
Good. We need to tell him that. No, he has.
On the blog make fun of his speaking, on the campaign trail a long, long time ago, and, as a critic, I noticed the change.
Well, I think he has really matured as a communicator. I think he is, he's like we all do, we grow. I mean, I have grown, the communications director I was in, year one is very different than now. And so I think we've all improved. And we've got a great government. We've got, across all departments, the citizens of Louisville should be very proud of their government, which is efficiently run, which has a vision for the future, and which has really passionate leaders who could be making a lot more money in the private sector, but choose to head up our departments. They choose to be police chief. They choose to be the public works director. They choose to work in economic development to create jobs when they could go...
Choose to be the communications director. The best in the whole country, at least according to... whoever gave you that big trophy. Trophy?
Yeah, it was a pleasant surprise, and it was from the National Association of Government Communicators, and it was largely for the work that we did during the Muhammad Ali Memorial Week.
Which was an amazing week for Louisville.
Yeah, I don't think there's, from a communications perspective and the work that went into that week, I don't think there's another thing I'll do in my career that was as special and meaningful, global and unbelievable as that week.
Very good. Well, that's a good way to conclude this Rusty Satellite Show interview.
Thanks,
Chris. Rick.
Thanks.
Hi, this is Alec Bowles, co-host of the What Happens Next podcast on Louisville.am. We talk about improv each week with We Are the Louisville Improvisers. With,
yeah, totally.
With Chris Anger and Brian Hines.
Yeah.
And Jenny.
Where's my water?
Okay. Well, right now we're just having a few treats. So we hope you can listen. Find us at Louisville.am in iTunes or using the Stitcher app on your iPhone or Android device.
And I'm back with you on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding, your host. Thank you to Chris Pointer for allowing me to come by and check out what's changed down at the mayor's office, which is, well, not a lot. But anyway, we did talk a lot about the changes in media and how that has changed things. I remember that I started a blog called The Ville Voice back in 2006. And it was amazing that back in those days, Chris was very complimentary to me, in fact, about my pioneering efforts in blogging. I was the first online news blogger in this town with The Ville Voice, and it was amazing at that time because, just tell you very quickly, the Courier-Journal, where Chris worked, they had a policy, if you can believe it now. It sounds crazy. It was 10 years ago, but they would find out about stories, get them written, and hold them until the next day for the morning newspaper, and so that people that still got the morning newspaper would have fresh content to read. And I helped disrupt that thing by publishing things as soon as I found out about Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, whatever. And the TV stations did some of the same thing. They didn't put a lot of emphasis on their websites at that time, and they would hold stories until 5 or 6 o'clock. There was no tweeting out stories to watch and all that. It was a totally different media environment, and people still watched a lot of TV news and read their newspapers in the morning, etc. So anyway, all that has changed a lot, and it is perfectly evidenced what's going on today. If you're not paying attention, and maybe this is the only place you're getting some of this news, I don't know. But there is quite a feud going on between our governor and the local and several members of the local media, and the controversy this week had to do with Governor Bevin got really upset, and I can sort of understand this. Certainly I'm always going to side with the media guys and their right to cover things, but Bevin noticed a drone flying over his property, and the laws about drones coverage are evolving, and that's what makes this story sort of interesting. Bevin got really upset, and he put out a bunch of tweets. I listened yesterday when he went on Terry Miner's radio show, if you listen to Bevin, he is convincing. He has a very his method of communication, his way of speaking is very effective. He is convincing. But he accused these what the drone was from WDRB, and it was operated by Barry Fulmer, the news director there, who set up apparently a street or two over from Bevin's house, put the drone up, and flew it over and around, and they were working on a story about that property, which has been a controversial thing because there is a accusation out there that Bevin got favored treatment and got a great price on the home. But anyway, Bevin's got all these kids and everything, so Bevin goes on the radio and says, "Hey, they're out there, they're filming, they've got this drone up there and they're taking pictures of my kids and all that." Well, then the media got its shot, and Bill Lamb of WDRB posted one of his points of view editorials about how many lies Bevin had told on that topic, and he says, and the headline on it was Governor Bevin and his alternative facts. Okay, and then the Courier Journal chimed in because the Courier's upset with the governor for number one, we've talked about on this show, the governor's not granting access. He's not giving interviews to the Courier Journal or Lexington Herald Leader or some of the TV stations. He's picking and choosing. He thinks he can bypass the media, go directly to Facebook to get his message out, which certainly goes against the face of everything that goes along with what we've come to expect and know expect out of politicians and the media. And of course, President Trump is disrupting things as well. Bevin is
kind of a childish thing. Tom Loftus is a longtime Courier Journal reporter who went out to Bevin's house, I guess, to check out the site. What I would have done as a reporter, if I'm working on a story, I go to the place and see it. Well, Bevin has taken to calling the CJ reporter Peeping Tom, and he sort of explained that on the Terry Minor show. But anyway, it's kind of an immature thing. But anyway, the Courier fired off an editorial headlined, When Bevin Gets Nervous, the Lies Start Flowing. And they pointed out three lies that they claim that he said. He accused Courier Journal and Wave of flying that drone over his home. He claimed the drone was filming his children. Of course, Lamb said there were no children in any of the video that he saw that was shot by his station. And he said the Courier Journal's Tom Loftus came to the governor's home with three attorneys trying to get into his home. Those things are lies. I mean, they really are lies. So anyway, that's what's going on. It's sort of a pissing match, I guess, between the mainstream media and the governor, and not likely to end soon. Things aren't going well. Bevin's still happy to go on Terry Minor's show, and that seems to be his outlet. Okay. Also, Terry had a big week. I saw him last week at the Saints. Caroline Knopp, our favorite publicist in the city, was performing with her band, the Happy Hour Band. Terry was there and said hello and had a great time. But Terry also had Dan Johnson on the show, Councilman Dan Johnson. You may be tired of hearing me talk about crazy Dan Johnson, but he revealed something that was very interesting. First of all, Johnson, August 1st, that was yesterday, was the day that Johnson was supposed to say he's either going to resign or the council is going to start procedures to remove him. And Johnson came on Terry Minor's show yesterday and said, I am going to be your councilman in District 21 until my term ends in 2018. That's what he says. I've yet to see anything in the media about the Metro Council starting procedures to create a council court and get him out of there. Okay, so Johnson comes on the show, and he's done a few things. He's gotten rid of one problem, his aide, a guy named Matthews. Apparently he fired him and is going to work every day and doing his thing and trying to do his job. But he revealed something, I think, that is interesting to know. If you've been following this crazy Dan Johnson story, a lot of questionable behavior, he said on Terry's show that he's been going through some counseling recently. And the counseling revealed that when he was in 1976, that he was in a car accident involving a Cadillac he was driving, and he had a skull fracture. And now he's finding out that in terms of the counseling, he's claiming that he was in a coma for 2 weeks and that some of his memory lapse issues are related to that incident. Yeah, I know. It's odd. It's just odd. It's just an odd thing. I don't know what to make of it, but maybe, you know, it's an explanation for all this erratic behavior that Dan's had over the years. And so now he said it all goes back to a car accident he had in 76 that messed him up. Okay. I'll let him go with that. The Courier, Johnson feels like he's getting a little picked on. The Courier ran a story called the top five quotes from Dan Johnson that he did in a previous Terry Miners appearance. The best one, or the most colorful one, I guess, was he said, I've been in public for a long time, and sometimes my pants come down. That's what he said. So that's a direct quote, and all that. So you wonder why I get such a chuckle out of the antics of Dan Johnson. That's part of the reason why right there. Okay, on to some other things. I want to tell you about some of the things I've been doing in the last week or so, and what we're looking forward to. I finally got out to, you know, we always talk about Louisville being such a great place for food and drink. And since, and just so you know, Eat, Drink, Talk is sort of on a hiatus. It's going to come back in some form or another in the near future. But anyway, I'm still going out and trying new restaurants. I went to, I meant to go the other night. Paul and I were celebrating 4 years since I met her, and reason for celebration. And we were going to go to the Fork and Barrel, but it was Monday night and they were closed, the new restaurant on Frankfort Avenue. So we went down to the Red Herring, which I'd heard a lot about, right next to the Silver Dollar. And very nice inside. It was smaller than I thought it was going to be. And the menu is limited, but I had these the cheeks, I think grouper cheeks is what they're called, that were poached, and they were like okay, not great. I guess they weren't like fried or didn't have any really bad stuff in them. They're kind of healthy, I guess. So I didn't like them as well as I could have. I wish I'd have gotten this big burger they were selling. But anyway, we had a good time at the Red Herring, and enjoyed that. But I tell you, the best meal of the week that I had was
and it was a lunch I had down at 18th and Muhammad Ali at a place called Sweet Peaches. Sweet Peaches. And you may hear more from me about Pamela Haynes, who operates that establishment. And it's you know, basically, you know, the West End, there aren't a lot of restaurants. There aren't a lot of places to eat. And the ones that are there are tend to be places like Sweet Peaches. Pamela, I talked to her today. She is making that business work and is very ambitious, is well-educated, and has a great relationship with some of her peers. In fact, there's a story in the Courier Journal today about her efforts to help the community, help the kids in the community. She has a movie night thing in an abandoned lot behind her store at 18th and Ali every Friday night. And it's really a great story. I urge you to check it out. But I had whitefish. I had whitefish and sweet potatoes and baked bean. It was a great meal. I was feeling it for a while. Anyway, it's a great place. If you ever want to get off the beaten path, go down to the West End. Go down to 18th and Ali and try Sweet Peaches. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, I did that, and that was the highlight of my week in terms of going out to eat. I do want to mention one thing before I go, and we get Chris Thieneman on here, is that I was surprised. Number one, I don't know if you keep up with this. Sam Shepard is a great playwright, a great actor, passed away this week, and I did not know. I had no idea he lived in Kentucky. Sam Shepard lived in Midway. I remember him for two things. Number one, he played a great role of Chuck Yeager in one of my favorite movies of all time, The Right Stuff, based on the book by Tom Wolfe, which is probably my favorite book of all time. And anyway, he died this week at age 73 in Midway, Kentucky, where he has been living for a while. He was also recently a star of the Netflix series Bloodline. I can strongly recommend that to you. It's a tremendous series. It has Kyle Chandler, the guy who was the coach in Friday Night Lights, in it, and it's just a tremendous, tremendous television. And so anyway, sorry to hear that Sam Shepard died. I'm kind of happy to know he has a Kentucky connection. Anyway, so let's get on with Chris Thieneman, who has a lot going on and is very active in issues related to the police, because of we will mention in this interview, and just to refresh you, Chris, some many years ago was falsely accused of assault by an ex-girlfriend, and was thrown in jail and was mistreated by the police, and has been on a sort of campaign to avenge that ever since. Would not settle his case in court and demanding justice. Anyway, Chris has a lot of other stuff going on. He's bringing a guy into town to talk about the police problem, and I don't know if you saw the news this week, but there was some reports out about the police and about crime in this area being down a little bit. But there's also a story about the police chief being under fire again. No confidence vote was on the schedule, so we'll see what happens with all that. But Chris has a lot to say about that and about some of his other activities, and I was just so happy for him. He's basically got his second family well established now. He in the last 3 or 4 years he's gotten married, had two children, and is travels a lot and gets a lot done, and is a very active member of this community. So I thought it would be a great time to have Chris Thieneman on the show. And so here's our interview.
Hey, this is Dan Vonderhyde.
Stephanie White.
And we are 40-ish.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
We talk about it every week on the 40-ish podcast. What do we talk about?
Wisdom. We drop some wisdom and just everything that's going on in our lives that relates to what might be going on in yours.
We have guests. We talk to people on the street. We're dropping knowledge all over the place. You can hear it every Wednesday. Comes out on Louisville.am.
And today, the Rusty Satellite Show is in the Louisville.am studios, and I am with my good buddy, Chris Thieneman. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rick. Always a pleasure, my man. Good to see you.
It is. Now, you were on this show last November, which I guess is many months ago. There's been a lot going on since then. I should publicly congratulate you. You have a strapping 7-week-old son.
Yeah, I do. I got my football player. I got my son. My oldest daughter was like, "Why'd you get so excited having a son? Don't you love us?" I said, "Honey, yes, I love you more. I would if I had three boys and then I had a girl. I'd be just as excited." So. But
girls can't put the helmet on.
They can't put the helmet on, though I'm thinking twice about that with all the injuries that are going on. But I'm excited. And keep the name going, too. Most often than not, that the men keep the name going. So
okay.
I'm proud to do that.
And this young man's name is?
Ira Christopher.
Ira Christopher Thieneman. All right. Coming to the University of Louisville football team.
Yeah, we got 18 years. Yeah.
2036. That'll be it. But it's always fun to talk to you, Chris. Following you on Facebook, you're very busy. You're among the most active people I know. But, you know, you've got a lot of causes that you are behind. I guess we'll start with the police.
Well, and that kind of was started by when they started arresting me and then dropping the charges when they realized that that I wasn't going to back down. You know, mm-hmm. they expected me to pay my fine and move on. But when I haven't done anything, I always defend myself, and I'll defend myself to the end. And now right. they...
Now, is that for listeners who don't remember, Chris was arrested some 3 years ago, I guess, on a charge from an ex-girlfriend and was put in jail. And you fought that case, got the charges dropped, yeah. and it over?
No, it wasn't dropped. Other than that one, I went to court and won. I was found not guilty of assault.
Okay.
And I'm appealing the wanton endangerment because I jumped out of the car to run away from her.
Right,
but that's another story. But then a few months later, her and this dirty cop got in cahoots and started trying doing two or three times to try to get me arrested. And the third time was a charm. They arrested me. It was all back over the news. And then instantly they used it as bait to try to get me to admit to something I didn't do. And they said, well, we'll drop the felony charge if he just admits that he smacked her. I said, not only did I not do the felony charge, but I didn't smack her either. And it's been 4 years coming up,
wow.
And you know, time flies. And the best thing that I'm blessed with, I believe, is patience. You know, time is so valuable. I wish it was slower. It goes so fast. If you tell me, oh man, it's going to take another 4 years for this lawsuit, and that doesn't make me sweat at all because time flies. I can't believe that it's been 4 years now.
It's been 4 years yeah. since we started this little
right.
podcast.
Yeah.
So there you go. Time does fly. So so what's the what you're bringing somebody important to town.
I really am. This is big. And as Christopher Tuex, who I had lunch with today, which is another story, but he said, Chris, nobody has ever brought anybody in to this with this statue, with this magnitude of a Norm Stamper. He's a former police chief in Seattle, Washington. And he's an author, too. And he's written a couple of books called Breaking Rank, A Top Cop's Exposé of the Dark Side of America's Policing. And two, the second one is To Protect and Serve, How to Fix America's Police. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing me saying that a police officer did wrong, but when you got a top cop giving the inside scoop, the inside story of what's going on, and it's across the board, across the country.
Sure.
And he's dedicated his life to try to make it better. And I found him. He when I was looking for help outside of Louisville, because I wasn't going to find any within the police ranks here, I found this man who wrote a book. I wrote him. I emailed him. I didn't stalk him, but I went to Seattle to find him.
Wow.
And we met for lunch, this has been 6 months now. And we became, I consider him a friend, and he knows my story. He knows I was screwed, and he wants to help me. So I'm excited about him coming in.
So he's going to come, and you're in the process of setting up times and places for him to speak or whatever. But you do know the dates he's going to be here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's here going to be October 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Okay.
So I'm actually looking for organizations that would want to know and hear. I'm sending out these. I'm going to leave you this flyer that I'm going to mail out shortly to a lot of the voters to it's just all about Norm, really, and very little bit about my case and to tie the two mm-hmm. together. And just to inform people like that are affected by bad cops.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously it's the biggest topic of news in the city on most days. And you know, today, no different. There was a report came out today that the city put out. Serious crimes are down a small percentage. So,
But I think it's always going to be there. You know, it's always going to be a thing that affects people, and you hear about a story about, you know, a kid getting shot or whatever happens.
Rick, I got to tell you this, and I want your listeners to hear this, because this is what the media doesn't report. I get, because I'm so outspoken and out there, I get calls. I got a call from a realtor, a very well-known realtor that you'll see his signs all over the place. This time last year, he was having his anniversary with his wife celebrating downtown, left the restaurant, ate up, started heading to the Marriott to have a romantic evening with his bride, and he was right there on 2nd and 3rd Street, and he's in the middle of a gunshot, like the OK Corral. One side was shooting, the other side was shooting, and he was in the middle with his wife and an Uber driver. They rushed to the Marriott, and he went out and told them, and they called the cops, and he was all worked up over it, and then you know, he expected to see it on the news and to watch it in the paper, and nothing, wow, not an inch of it, and this, like, is right in the middle. This, yeah, is right down, I mean, the street from Yum Center.
It seems like there's so much crime coverage, but you couldn't possibly cover everything that happened.
But what they don't want it to cover is those things that happen around where the tourists come. This is the Yum Center area. Mm-hmm. And so this war that we're having is not just in the West End. These drug dealers that we're dealing is, it's across the board.
Sure. Well, one last question about that. So you're bringing this guy in from Seattle. He's an expert in policing, et cetera. What do you hope to accomplish with this?
Well, education. I really do. I want awareness that somebody that was for me a victim of a dirty cop, it's easy for me to complain and have people, oh, that's just sour grapes, but to find this man with this he had no reason but to help the country, mm-hmm, for him to write these books and to expose what's going on. He's lost friends, okay, over this, and if I can educate some folks to not let what happened to me happen to them.
Right. Well, you spend a lot of time focused on policing issues around here. I mean, tell me what you think of, you know, we've got a police chief that's under fire. I mean, where do you come down on Chief Conrad?
Well, I've been asking for his resignation for months now. You know, he's known about the Youth Explorer program. What I've found out, and even the Courier-Journal wrote a story about where these officers are getting offers from the police chief that, mm-hmm, hey, we won't prosecute you if you just resign. And, it looks exactly like that with the Youth Explorer program. So what was interesting, after it came down, I never even knew what the Youth Explorer program was about. I started to Google it, and then I started Googling the Youth Explorer program nationally, and all these other cities started popping up, and I started sending them to the Courier-Journal, to Joe Girth Andrew Wolfson. They ended up writing an article about it. I mean, this is, L.A. just had one 3 weeks ago, an officer who raped a 15-year-old. And so if this has been going on, and they have stories of this documentation that it's been going on since the 70s, and nobody's ever talking about it, it's, uh-huh, this blue line. They keep the quiet. They don't want people to know that side of the police department. And I've had, you know, if you ask Buddy Dumar, he's a former cop, and I showed him all my stuff, and I said, Buddy, just tell me what you think. Just give me your opinion. He said, well, I mean, there's no way. You had no reason to be arrested. I'm sorry. I said, well, help me. He said, I can't talk about that.
Yeah.
But they don't want to talk about other cops. No, the good cops will cover up for the bad cops every time. It blows me away. And at the cost to the citizen.
Sure, sure. Okay, well, before we run out of time here, Chris, I want to get on a lighter note. One of the things we talked about last time was some of your other business enterprises. I know the Fantasy Thailand was really something. You were doing a reality show,
yes,
TV show. What's happened with that?
Well, that should be on coming up soon. We're going to be I've signed a contract not to even talk about it.
No,
but we're getting ready to be on the, I can say, the TLC channel, the network, the cable.
The Learning Channel?
Yeah, the Learning Channel. And they're going to be focusing on David Toborowski, who works for me with Fantasy Thailand, Tobo, aka Tobo, and because he's getting married, he's got a.
Oh, I thought he'd already gotten married.
No, that's what that's we're they're following him around and doing a show on that, and then while he's working for Fantasy Thailand, so we're going to be
And very briefly, Tobo's story is an amazing one. He lost an incredible amount of weight, right? Walking around.
Yeah, 4 years ago, he had a great six-figure job at Norton's in medical. He has a master's degree in medical, so he lost his job, lost his house, lost his wife. His wife divorced him. He had a stroke right in front of me at wow. Old Charlie's. And he filed for bankruptcy. He was ready to end it. And I said, man, you know, we can't do that. We got to go. The only time I've ever seen you happy is over in Thailand. So we went over there. And to make a long story short, I said, you need to stay over here. Because he was 300 plus pounds.
Yeah.
You know. And went over there, got his license to teach English. And he's a rock star over there, honestly. Yeah. I mean, the schools fight for him to teach English for him. And it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, well, it's a great story. I love Tobo, I'm glad to hear all those good things are happening to him. So, you know, anybody I'd say out there that has a few things go against them, just remember you can always recover.
I believe so. I mean, it starts with your own mind, but if you have some a strong mind and some people that care, you know, there's a way.
All right. Well, we got to wrap it up here, Chris. But as always, love having you on the show, and really admire some of the things you're doing.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it, Rick.
And that does it for another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show, home of the most interesting people in the Ville. I know I went a little bit long on some of the segments this week, but you know, you get Chris Pointer and Chris Thieneman talking, and it's hard to cut them off. So anyway, I certainly enjoyed talking to them and bringing this show to you. Encourage you to get in touch with me if you've got a suggestion for a future guest, if you know of a sponsor that would like to join in, or just want to talk about the show and where it's going. I'd love to talk to you. Rick Redding on Facebook, or rick@louisvilleky.com is my email address. Got a lot of great things coming up. I'm so excited about going to the Lyle Lovett Show at the Iroquois Amphitheater on Sunday night. It's going to be Lyle is an amazing performer. I've seen him several times, and he's one of my favorites. So I hope if you're going, look for me out there. I think I've got some pretty good seats. I hope so. So anyway, that's going to do it for this week. I'll be back next week on the Rusty Satellite Show with two more of the most interesting people in the Ville.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time I